Disease modification arrives, and the system starts counting the cost. Teplizumab reaches newly diagnosed children, the GLP-1 bill comes due, and the science narrows on whom to treat. The integrated read, June advanced on four fronts at once. Efficacy surged at the American Diabetes Association's June meeting. Retatrutide, which drives three receptors at once, reached weight loss once seen only after surgery. Orforglipron, a GLP-1 that works as a pill, had published its phase 3 weight loss result the November before. And teplizumab added a different kind of advance, acting on the type 1 disease process instead of replacing insulin. The guidelines moved with them. The association's 2026 standards of care made automated insulin delivery the preferred way to dose insulin, and for the first time, backed GLP-1s and type 1 diabetes. The science widened past glucose into population-scale metabolic genetics and the brain circuits that set appetite. The bill kept growing. GLP-1s named as a driver of national spending, a fight over whose drug gets covered, and a regulator that widened access in one decision and restricted supply in another. None of the four answers who gets treated or at what cost. Disease modification arrives on a surrogate endpoint. The FDA approved teplizumab for children and adolescents with recently diagnosed stage 3 type 1 diabetes. Stage 3 is diagnosed disease. Stage 2 is the earlier stage, found by screening, where teplizumab has been available to delay onset. Teplizumab acts on the disease process rather than replacing the insulin that process takes away. The clearance came through the accelerated pathway on a surrogate measure. In the PROTECT trial, teplizumab met its primary endpoint on C-peptide, a marker of surviving beta cell function, while the clinical secondary endpoints did not move. A Pediatric Endocrine Society committee post set out who to treat and when. Within 8 weeks of diagnosis, at least one positive islet autoantibody preserved beta cell function. It reported safety consistent with what had already been seen at stage 2. And early clinician reaction was enthusiasm, tempered by the surrogate endpoint and by not knowing how long the effect lasts. At stage 2, only about 36% of eligible patients started the drug. Cost, logistics, and treatment burden were the reasons given in a report published days before this approval. Whether newly diagnosed families behave the same way is unknown. The drugs reach surgical range weight loss, and one hormone fell short on blood sugar. The weight loss numbers kept climbing, though not all of them landed in June. Orforglipron, an oral non-peptide GLP-1, took 9.6% of body weight off at 72 weeks on its 36 mg dose in the ATTAIN-2 trial, against 2.5% on placebo, published in November 2025, and still setting the terms. A pill changes how many people a drug can reach. At the ADA scientific sessions in June, retatrutide, which drives the GLP-1, GIP, and glucagon receptors together, put 45.3% of patients on its 12 mg dose past 30% body weight loss in the TRIUMPH-1 trial, with a 28.3% mean reduction across 2,339 adults who had obesity or overweight without diabetes. Losses of that size were once reserved for surgery. Lilly reported that figure itself, and the trade article covering it is paywalled, so we read only the headline and the visible summary. One result went the opposite way. GIP is one of the three receptors retatrutide drives. This study infused the natural hormone itself. In 61 adults with type 2 diabetes, GIP given for 6 weeks, alone or added to semaglutide, did not reach the pre-specified glycemic target. With 16% of participants discontinuing, the authors say they cannot draw firm conclusions about GIP added to placebo. A negative result deserved more attention than it got in a field busy adding one drug to another. The rules changed as fast as the drugs did. In the ADA's 2026 Standards of Care, Section 7 gives automated insulin delivery a grade A recommendation in type 1 diabetes, and for the first time, in adults with type 2. Continuous glucose monitoring is recommended more widely, and GLP-1s appear in the type 1 guidance. The standards were announced in December 2025, and published in the January 2026 supplement, so they set the rules that applied during June, rather than being a June event. The FDA moved in both directions across the quarter. In June, it cleared the first over-the-counter continuous glucose monitor for children. The clearance covers ages 2 and up, who do not use insulin, which excludes the type 1 patients this issue is largely about, and it is not indicated where low blood sugar is a problem. 6 weeks earlier, at the end of April, it had proposed excluding semaglutide, tirzepatide, and liraglutide from the 503B bulk substances list, beginning to close the compounded GLP-1 era by restricting supply. The bill arrives before the benefit is established. In late May, the pharmacy benefit manager, CVS Caremark, put Lilly on the same terms as Novo Nordisk, adding Lilly's Foundayo pill and returning Zepbound to the list of drugs it covers from 1 October. Novo's Wegovy pill and injection stay preferred as well. Nobody lost preferred status. Novo lost exclusivity. And with efficacy settled, the list a benefit manager covers now moves more prescriptions than a new trial result does. U.S. health spending reached $5.7 trillion in 2025, up 7.3% on the year, and on pace to pass $6 trillion in 2026, with GLP-1s named as a driver. McKinsey sizes the market at roughly 900 million adults with obesity, prescriptions growing 38% a year, and sales heading toward $100 billion by 2030. They frame the choice as treating obesity reactively or getting ahead of it through prevention. Those are cited positions, not ours. The population in question is larger than a U.S. argument suggests. The IDF Diabetes Atlas puts 11.1% of adults aged 20 to 79, about 1 in 9, as living with diabetes, and projects about 853 million by 2050. The science stopped being about glucose. Away from the clinic, a genetic analysis of circulating metabolic traits in 619,372 individuals gives the data needed to work out who is at risk and why, far upstream of blood sugar. A separate paper traced how glycogen drives the sensory activation of POMC neurons, the appetite circuitry the incretin drugs ultimately act on. A preclinical study tied a methionine-supplemented diet to raised GLP-1 and FGF21 and to health span, work that treats metabolism as part of the biology of aging. A preprint linked what happens to beta cells under nutrient stress in the dish to population genetics. It is not peer-reviewed, and in that design, the claim is only as good as the methods. What this means for you. If you are building a disease-modifying therapy, for teplizumab, approval turned out to be easier than getting the drug into patients. The FDA approved it on a surrogate marker of surviving beta cell function, and at stage 2, where it was already available, only about a third of eligible patients started it. Cost, logistics, and treatment burden stopped the rest. Changes if a larger share of eligible patients starts the drug, or a follow-up shows how long the preserved beta cell function lasts. If your asset is an injectable GLP-1, two things worked against injection, neither of them in June. A GLP-1 pill passed its phase 3 trial in November, and in late May a pharmacy benefit manager put a rival's pill on the same terms as Novo's. The competition is now about whether the drug is a pill or an injection. Changes if later trials of the pill report smaller weight loss or manufacturing limits how much of it can be supplied. If you are betting that more receptors win, retatrutide, which drives 3 receptors, put roughly 45% of patients on the highest dose past 30% weight loss. GIP given as the natural hormone alone or on top of semaglutide missed its pre-specified glycemic target over 6 weeks. Adding a receptor did not automatically add an effect. Changes if a head-to-head trial shows a 3-receptor drug beating a 2-receptor one, or another trial tests a single hormone on its own.